all of classification and declassification of national security information in the U.S. government is controlled under an executive order number 12958, which has been around for about 15 years and been modified a couple of times. What the president did on May 27th was send a direction to all agencies that he wanted to review that document and to revise it in accordance with his principles of more openness and transparency in government. The National Security Advisor, General Jones, asked the board to conduct a public hearing to get public input to offer to the group within the government that is making these revisions that the president has directed.
And will something be done about the reported 107 different levels of classification that an employee can put on a document?
Well, we certainly hope so. It's one of the things the president spoke to in his direction. Now, we didn't deal with that specifically, especially since our role is oriented especially to declassification, which is usually looking at records that are 25 years old and trying to determine what can be declassified. And in fact, since that process began in the mid-90s, many hundreds of millions of documents have been declassified, but there are many hundreds of millions yet to go.
And once they're declassified, does that just mean that they're able to be sent out in a FOIA without, you know, black marks, basically, you know, X-ing out all the pertinent information? Or does it mean they become public documents? Or exactly what does declassification of a document enable?
Well, it's a good point. It can mean several things. Yes, the entire document can be declassified. And in fact, the first examination that's made is a pass-fail examination. And so many documents are just simply totally declassified. Those that are not could be further reviewed through a FOIA request or other means, including from within an agency itself. And there would be redactions potentially in the final product. And sometimes these redactions are brought about by requirements of the Privacy Act, which requires that the names of U.S. citizens that are mentioned in the document, who may be government employees or may be citizens that the government is engaged with, that they be protected while those people are alive. So some of these redactions come from other provisions of law.
We're talking this morning to Martin Faga, acting chairman of the Public Interest Declassification Board, about what it will mean to declassify documents. So do you envision a time, Mr. Faga, where declassified documents would be housed on a website or some location where it could be publicly viewed at will? Or do you think it will always be a process of FOIA or requesting information from an agency?
Well, certainly we're pushing for the approach you suggest of trying to get things on websites and the archives, which, who are primarily responsible for this, of course, are looking at exactly this. And short of that, one of the things that we're pushing for is indexes on websites so that people can know what is in records so that they can ask for review for declassification. One of the big problems here is, well, what are people interested in? The process tends to be looking at all records of a certain age and going through this pass-fail examination that I mentioned, but this, of course, includes a lot of information that's not of very much interest. So we think it'd be very important to get out a complete index of records that are in the government's possession, so that citizens could indicate their interests.
And as time goes on, more and more records are being created electronically that may never see paper form. So there's also the issue of how those are, first of all, preserved. That's probably a different issue, but then how you get at those to declassify them and then where they go from there.
You're exactly right. Electronic records are a big problem. First of all, they cause the generation of many more records. These huge numbers of records that you read about every year do in many cases include duplicates, the same email that went to 15 people and perhaps got counted 15 different places. But one of the issues is the correct preservation of these records in the first place. A lot of decision-making today is made on video teleconference systems, many of them by PowerPoint Viewgraph presentations. These things are less likely to be preserved, and yet they are the modern history. We wrote in our annual update to the president, in this case to President Obama, that we are at some risk that 50 years from now people will find better records of the Revolutionary War than they will of the war in Iraq. A little dramatic way to say it, but I think literally true.
But that doesn't mean that the documents themselves go away. They just aren't available to the general public. And, you know, maybe eventually, you know, eventually, though, over time, classified documents become declassified as you're, you know, approving. So, I mean, isn't that just an evolutionary process?
Well, let me go back to the beginning of your statement. In fact, there are a lot of records that do go away. Fascinated and horrified by a statement by an Army historian in the last few months at looking at records that brigades collected of their activities during a period in Iraq. And at the end of the period, they were simply wiping the hard drive and turning it over to the next group of troops that were arriving to replacement.
Wow.
So in this case, I mean, the historians worked with the units who were perfectly amenable to saving the records. This was nothing malicious. This wasn't trying to hide anything. This was just nobody thinking about, well, you know, these records have permanent historical value. But it's just so easy, particularly in the electronic domain, to simply throw it away. We suspect a lot of this happens also with ViewGraph presentations and video teleconference.
Well, a lot of the people that follow this as kind of their life's work is to follow government records don't like the idea of printing out electronic records because they want to preserve them in the electronic form, but printing them out is better than losing them altogether.
Well, we're just saving them in some permanent electronic form, which in fact the archives is working on right now, developing methods to do that effectively. Because even when you do preserve them, as we all know, the format in which any given record is stored changes. I mean, all of us have some version of Microsoft Word that wouldn't be compatible with a very early version or with some entirely different word processing program. So they have that problem to deal with and are working on that.
And Mr. Fager, what phase are you in your process of looking at this whole declassification issue? Would you say you're beginning, middle, or end?
I would say we're at the end of the beginning.
The end of the beginning. Is that the middle?
Close.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's quite the middle.
It's an unending process. Now, the specific task that we received from General Jones will end this month, and we'll pass our recommendations to the group that reports to him that's actually trying to revise this order. But this is a process that will never end.
That's true. Everybody wants information, and it's the government's job to decide whether or not they should get it.
Yeah, and make sure the Army knows you can buy a terabyte hard drive for a couple of hundred bucks.
Exactly.